Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. Today, on February the 22nd, 2021, I'm Joanne, and it's just a great start to a new week after an amazing weekend. There's something about springtime when God starts pouring out just so much in seeds that we are to plant. This is really a time to be cultivating in the kingdom of God. And I find this year after year after year. Heads up, in the springtime, God's wanting to get some things going for the calendar year. So this is definitely a good time to be cultivating the soil, gathering up the seed, getting it planted in the soil. It will make a difference when harvest time comes around. So I just want to throw that in off the bat. This was a big weekend around where I live. There were so many things to go to and things that had been prepared for us to feast, you know, at the Lord's table and take in what He was giving to us. And I was noticing a common thread in the things, like the different places that I went to. And so we're going to talk about, you know, getting it into high gear as the church. You know, I was hearing the analogy about the stick shift. It was actually a prophetic word that came at the end of one of the teaching sessions, that God was showing someone a stick shift going from first gear, you know, how you go first, second, third, fourth, fifth, you know. Well, she was saying she was seeing it going from first gear all the way up to sixth gear. In other words, at a moment's notice, get it into gear and be ready to move. I even went to another thing, and a friend of mine spoke a word about getting the engine revved up, being ready to move fast. And then a close friend of mine spoke a scripture that means so much to me, 1 John 2:27. It says, you have an anointing that abides in you. And so I'm going to unpack what that means as I go throughout this podcast. So Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything that you deposit into us. I thank you, Father, that you place these things into us because you are expecting some fruit to come from it. So, Father, if you would just lead my words, take my words, God, and produce what is pleasing to you. Father, I pray that you would anoint the words. I pray that you would also anoint the ears to hear what you are speaking to your church in this hour. It's in Jesus' name I ask, and I give you praise for it, God. Thank you. It's in your name, Jesus. So, you know, the needs are great around us. They are abundant. And I find that situations will be presented before us that, like Paul said to Timothy, be ready in season and out of season. Okay? In other words, you're a minister of the Word of God, and it doesn't matter if you feel like it or not, you step into that moment and you do as the occasion demands of you. And I love that verse. It's actually found in 1 Samuel, when Samuel is anointing Saul as king, and he says, okay, you're going to be walking through a series of steps here, and you're going to come into a band of prophets, and the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you. And when that happens, you do as the occasion demands. All right. So in other words, when the Spirit of God is present with us and we know what needs to be done, then God is counting on us as ministers of the new covenant to step into that position and just do it, whether we feel like we're ready or not. Because one thing that I'm finding is that if we're not prayed up, or if we don't feel like we've, you know, prepared for the situation at hand, there's actually something that opposes us that says, you can't do that. You're not ready. Ha! Okay. God is counting on us to say, watch me. Okay. Watch me step into that moment. And I find that when we will step out in faith, that God is drawn to faith. And here comes the Holy Spirit to come alongside us and give us exactly what we need. I mean, even if we bumble our words, even if we stammer, maybe if we don't do it exactly 100% correct, we better not stay back and let that enemy oppose us and keep us back. I mean, we're actually supposed to step into it and oppose that thing that says that we can't. Even if we do it wrong, we are not supposed to obey that voice that says you can't do that. Okay. So be ready to go from first gear to sixth gear at a moment's notice. And don't you listen to any voice that says you can't do that. Ha! The very thing that God's wanting to see from our life is that we won't listen to that thing. Oh, Lord. So get ready to rev it up. Go from zero to 60 in a moment's notice, because Holy Spirit will move that fast. I mean, you may be feeling cruddy and you step into your moment. It's like all of a sudden you've got the wind of the Spirit carrying you along and you're in the flow of the Spirit. That's how fast He moves, and that's how fast He wants us to flow with Him. We moved fast today now, didn't we? Oh, I've got so much to share, so much to share. I just found over the weekend these moments came before me. And, you know, God has equipped us. He's given us tools on our belt. He expects us to know how to use them. Because if we've been walking with the Lord for a long time, then He kind of expects us to walk at a maturity level, you know, that is up to what He has trained us to be. He expects us to walk at a higher level when we've walked with Him in a long time. He doesn't want these baby arguments, these things that we struggled with in kindergarten, you know, and then here we are, we've graduated high school and college with Him, and, you know, we're walking at a higher level. We don't go back to whining those second and third grade, I can't do it. Oh my gosh, we should be offended at that voice that would tell us that. And we don't want to offend the Holy Spirit by saying that. Lord, have mercy. We have an anointing that abides in us. Amen. Holy Spirit doesn't go anywhere. Oh, where am I? Look at these notes. Stepping into the moment. Man, I was a young girl in middle school, and we had been prepared. Alicia, our wonderful middle school pastor, had just sent us out something in addition to the lesson that had to do with emotions and helping kids process through anxiety. And I want you to know, in the sixth grade girl's room, this girl brought up, well, I don't like to deal with my emotions. I hadn't even said anything. But I'll tell you what, I better go there quick. So I said, well, what is it like? Is it like an anxiety? And she said, yeah. I thought, well, let's go into this. Let's see what's going on with this girl, that she would bring this up. I said, well, you feel like this is coming from fear or from anger? And she said, oh, I think it's fear. I said, well, close your eyes. Let's do a little exercise. And I did this totally off the cuff. I hadn't even read all the material on the anxiety and the emotions. I just knew that the Lord was hot on this topic over the weekend because of a workshop I'd been to on Saturday about emotions. So I said to this young girl, I said, close your eyes. And I said, what image comes to mind that brings you fear? And so she started talking about how her family wanted to go on a trip that would require her to get on a plane. And that just really scared her. And I said, okay, where does that come from? Where did that fear come from? And what it was, as a young girl, when she was 4 or 5, she had seen a movie that had a plane crash in it. And so at a young age, the enemy took that image and placed just a root of fear in her. And so what we did was I said, okay, I want you to hold that memory in your hand and I want you to offer it up to the Lord. And I just kind of prayed her through a prayer of releasing that fear unto the Lord and giving it over to Him and to heal that memory. And then, you know, of course, we always need the Holy Spirit to come in and fill that place with truth. And so kind of helped her out a little bit, just talking about how the Father protects, that He has promised to keep us and protect us. And so it was like, okay, here you have this opportunity that comes up at a moment's notice. And it's like, okay, I've got deliverance on my tool belt. I better pull it up and I better use it right now because God's expecting me to know what to do. All right. 5 minutes later, this other young girl in the room, you know, something comes up about baptism. And here we are talking about the subject of forgiveness and God expects me to flip it and ask this girl, well, have you been forgiven by God? And to talk to her and to lead her, you know, into, you know, what's in your heart. You know, have you been forgiven by God? Do you plan to live your life with God or apart from God? And just to enter into this conversation about her need for forgiveness of sins. So it's like at a moment's notice, we have these things on our tool belt and God expects us to use them, okay? Whether we've been prepared in that direction or not. Because you know what? He wants us to step out in faith. And when we use the little bit that we have, here comes Holy Spirit, and he gives us more. And man, if we've walked on water like that before, he expects us to walk on water every time, you know? So glory to the Lord. He's looking for fruit from our life. And in Mark chapter 11, it says that Jesus got up one morning, and he was hungry. And from afar off, he saw a fig tree. So he walked up to this fig tree to see if by chance it had any fruit on it. But it was not the season of figs. And so he cursed the fig tree and said, "Let no fruit ever grow on you again." And so the next morning they got up and the disciples had heard him say that. And look, Peter said, the fig tree had withered from the roots. Well, you know what, Jesus? Why would you expect to find a fig on that tree when it wasn't in season? I mean, that would be like us here in, you know, the heartland of America, walking up to an apple tree in April or May and expecting to find an apple. Well, that's when the blossoms are on. We're not going to find an apple then. What is this principle teaching? What is Jesus teaching? Well, he can look for the fruit in any season of our life, and he expects it to be there. And we may be thinking, okay, God, you're doing it this, you're growing this fruit at this season of my life. This is when you expect to see the fruit in my life. But what if we go into the next season and Jesus comes to us and says, hey, where was that fruit that I grew back then? I expect you to still be walking in that. Okay? And so, I mean, this requires us to be really good stewards of the things that he teaches us. Back to that John 2:27 verse, you know, you have an anointing that has taught you some things, and that anointing abides. It is still with you. You need to access that at a moment's notice, even if you think that that's not the thing that he's working on in your life right now. The things from a previous season, he still wants fruit from those things too. And I mean, if there's any point in our Christian life where it's like, yeah, that used to be in my life, and somehow it's kind of dried up. But guess what? He still wants that fruit to manifest in our life. Okay? So what hinders fruit? Because Jesus will come. He will come and expect the tree from time to time. Say, how's that going? You remember that thing I taught you back then? How's that going right now? We better display that fruit. Luke 8, Jesus gives the parable of the different kinds of soils. Sometimes this is called the parable of the seed. I think it's the parable of the soils. The soils represent our hearts, heart conditions. And one of the heart conditions Jesus teaches is the one that grows thorns. And the thorns choke out the word of God in our life. But guess what? In Luke chapter 8, he tells us what those things are that will choke out the plants, the seed, and bring no fruit to maturity. The cares of life, riches, and the pleasures of life. So, if we are more focused on the things that are weighing us down, the cares of this life, that has the potential for choking out the seed of the Word of God and bringing no fruit to maturity. If we are focused on riches and abundance and buying and money and all these things, an over preoccupation with that, you know, just not having it in the right order in our Christian life, that can choke out the seed of the Word of God that he planted and bring no fruit to maturity. Pleasure, okay? We just want to enjoy. You know, we just want pleasure, seeking pleasure. Well, you know what? At his right hand are pleasures evermore. You know, and if we're seeking him, our pleasure, our delight is going to be in him. He's going to give us the thing that truly satisfies our heart. So the pleasures of the world can choke out the seed. They can choke out the things that would bring fruit to maturity. So Jesus wants us to be aware of cares, riches, and pleasures. And, you know, I think sometimes the message of the world is we're supposed to be really focused on the cares of this life and fixing these things. And sometimes it can get out of alignment. It can get out of order. It can get out of balance so much that it's like we're sucked in to this routine of dealing with the cares of life. And Jesus wants to lift that off of us. You know, cast your care upon the Lord and he will sustain you. Okay. Ooh. This is found in 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, when you came to Jesus Christ and you received the Holy Spirit, you received a gift. And so therefore, God, as your employer, as your boss, he expects us to be a good steward of the gift that he's given to us. And part of that stewardship is to minister it to one another. So if you are in Christ Jesus, you have been given a stewardship of a gift, and you're supposed to minister that. You are now in the ministry if you are in Christ Jesus. You have been given gifts that are supposed to be ministered to your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Okay, this is your job. Then verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. See, God's looking for some glory out of our lives. I mean, the glory going to him. I mean, he's looking for the things in our life that are bringing him glory. The fruit in our life, the ministry in our life to bring him the glory and honor that he deserves from us for all that he has done for us. So this is just one of those words that, you know, causes us to do a really good, thorough heart check. Lord, am I still bringing forth that fruit that you're looking for when you come to inspect my tree? Okay. Am I still walking in the things that you taught me a few months ago or last year? Okay. I find it really important to journal and to keep good notes of what God is growing in our life, because I can guarantee you, after you go through the training and instruction part, there will be some time pass. And then it's like the Lord comes and says, where's the fruit? Okay. It's not just while the instruction is going on. It's meant to be ongoing. Okay. And to be ready in season and out of season. So we who have been walking with the Lord for a while, he does expect us to walk at a higher level of maturity. He does expect us to be able to go from 0 to 60 in a second, to shift from first to sixth gear, rev up the engine and get in there, because the need is great. Okay, it's no time for laziness and apathy. All right. Lord, bring your people into that fruit. Bring your people into that sixth gear. God, the things that you have taught them that abide in them. The Holy Spirit hasn't gone anywhere, God. That anointing still abides in them, Father. Give them the will, the determination to step into that anointing right now. Whatever it is, Lord, that they need to do. And how dare the enemy say we can't do that? How dare he? Let's just step right over that. Amen. Okay. God bless you. Until next time.